Lord God, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we look into it today and we think again of the enormity of your gift to us, we pray that your spirit might touch our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On the 20th of July in 1969, two men stepped onto the moon. One, of course, was Neil Armstrong, and the other, Buzz Aldrin. Before leaving the capsule, Buzz Aldrin radioed Earth, and he said, "I would like to request a few moments of silence and to invite each person listening in, wherever and whomever they may be, to pause for a moment and to contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way." In the silence, Aldrin then gave personal thanks by administering to himself Holy Communion. Communion wine was the first liquid to be consumed on the moon. A better known fact, of course, is that when Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon, he intended to say, he didn't quite say it, but he intended to say, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." If you were to just read the first few verses of Luke chapter 2, you would see nothing very remarkable about a child being born at Bethlehem. People were born around Palestine all the time. And it was not unusual for the child to be called Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus, as we anglicize it. Except that the newborn was placed in a manger, the food trough for cattle, for animals, because the guest room in the house was occupied. However, if we read the first chapter of Luke, we would know that this event had been foretold not just by any old person, not by a doctor, but by angels. Speaking to Mary, the angel told her that this child will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Then, of course, if we've hopped across and read Matthew chapter 1, we would have discovered that an angel also appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Why? "Because he will save his people from their sins." People have always loved great heroes, haven't they? You look back into the past, into the sort of Greek myths, the Greek and Trojan times. They had people like Ulysses and the Achilles and Hector and other greats. In the last century, I know that superheroes abounded. And they still do, I think. I remember reading reading all the Superman comics that I could get my hands on. Although I thought the Green Lantern was the most cool of all superheroes. The Jews always looked back to a golden age in their history, with King David, who was their superhero. He was their great deliverer. And during the 70 years of exile, which later followed on, around 600 years before Christ, the Jews had started to look for a new deliverer. One like David. Somebody who could take them back to the golden age again. As we read Luke and Matthew, the picture is building that the child to be born of Mary is, in fact, that deliverer that the Jewish people were looking for. The superhero that Israel had been expecting. Jesus, meaning Savior of the house of David, Son of the Most High God, the Messiah. And on the night of his birth, angels confirmed this to the humblest of Israel's citizens, shepherds out in the fields. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So here is the fulfillment then of Israel's hopes. The chosen one, God's anointed king, on the surface, born as a human being in just ordinary circumstances. But by revelation from the angels, very, very special. Now, if you read then John's Gospel, as we just have, you realize even more about this child. I want you to imagine for a moment if I were to tell you that we had a guest coming to the church next Sunday. You might be mildly interested, but if I told you that the guest was very special, you might be even more interested. You might pick up your ears and say, I wonder who it is. If I said the guest was in politics, then you might think, well, that sounds interesting, a politician. And if I said he is the leader of his party, you might be thinking, oh, it's Tony Abbott. And that might be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on your politics. And then I tell you, no, it's not Tony Abbott. The guest is Barack Obama, possibly the most powerful man in the world. Now, even if you didn't like Barack Obama, I think you'd be quite impressed if he came as a guest to this church in Port Macquarie, wouldn't you? You'd be quite impressed that he had made the effort to be here. And you'd probably want to come along at least to see him. But that event would be nothing compared with this one that we have read about. Listen again to what John says about this child, Jesus, who visited earth. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The baby in the manger had been the one through whom all things had been made, and in whom was life, which was the light of all humankind. As you look around the walls of the church here, I'm sure you'll be very impressed with the wainscoting which has been replaced. If you'd seen it before, you would have thought it could never be resurrected. And yet, Bruce Nosworth and his son Gary have done a marvellous job of restoring it and putting it back up again. And as you see the work, some of the work that Bruce does, he built our rectory, he's done a lot of building jobs, and I'm always very impressed even watching him work. Does a great job. He's a great creative person and can find solutions to things all over the place. I'm very impressed with him. But impressed though I am with Bruce Nosworthy, this baby was in every part of creation. Everything that was created, all the creativeness of creation, came about through Jesus Christ. It's the Creator, in a sense, becoming like one of his created ones. It is a giant leap for mankind. It is a giant leap for Jesus from the glory of heaven to a cattle trough. What a sacrifice! We should, when we think about it, be absolutely amazed at such a thing happening. And yet, we read in chapter 1, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. The tragedy is that Jesus' own people rejected him, and people everywhere have been doing the same ever since. You know, I don't want to sound like a killjoy or a wowser this morning, but when I sat there and let the enormity of what Jesus did, of what Jesus was before his incarnation and what he did during his lifetime and that great leap that he made in coming from heaven to earth, when I sat there and let the enormity of that sink in, it made me realize what an insult it is that human creation of Santa Claus should so often overshadow God's gift of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But of course, the trivialization of Jesus doesn't just occur at Christmas time. And the tragedy is that we are all the losers when we leave Jesus out of the picture of our lives, when we relegate him to the corners of our lives. Our lives are impoverished if Jesus is not our first priority today. Why is that? Well, we read it in the chapter 1, verse 4, because in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind, the true light that gives light to everyone. A full picture then of Jesus' birth can only be understood in the light of the man who suffered and was crucified for your sins and my sins to reconcile us to God. If Jesus is not the light of our life this morning, then we are still living in darkness. If Jesus is not our life, we are existing an empty and a dead existence which has no future. If Jesus is not our Messiah today, if he is not our Lord, then we lack direction and any worthwhile purpose. These have to be the implications if we take these scriptures seriously. But note what happens when we do give our attention to Christ, when we do put him first in our lives, when we do ask for forgiveness. Here are some of the most exciting verses in the Bible. In verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. It is quite clear from this that we do not find a place with God by our self-effort. The only way that we can have the right to become God's children is if God acts, if we are born of God. In other words, to be born of God's Spirit. As we receive forgiveness and put our trust in Jesus, believing in his name. There is yet one more amazing thing. The Saviour, the light of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the superhero of superheroes, is happy for those who receive him, who believe on his name, to call him brother. Because through him, we can have the right to be God's children alongside him as the Son of God. Which brings us to a question, the big question this morning. Where are you standing today, this Christmas day? Is it in the darkness, or is it in the light of Christ? Are you without hope or a future, or are you a child of God? Are you merely existing through life, or are you living in the light of the world? At the crossing of the church, just on this side, there's a trifold sheet called the Bad News and the Good News. If you're not sure today where you stand with God, take one of those sheets and read it through. It tells you how you commit your life to Christ. And if you do that, then what I would like you to do after that is to tell somebody and then get along to church. If you're from somewhere else, get along to your local church, which will help you to grow in understanding of God's will for your life. And of course, if you're living around here and if you want to know more, you can talk to me or David or someone through the office, and we will be more than happy to share that good news with you. The gift is before us today. The potential is all here. May you indeed know the light and life as God's child, with Jesus as your Saviour, your brother, your friend, and your Lord. And may you have the greatest Christmas ever. God bless. Amen.